Okay, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house, Lord, and lift up our voice, Lord, in praise, Lord, and hear testimony of you working in people's lives, Lord. I do thank you, Lord, and ask that you might help us now. Lord, help the distractions to be put away, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you'd give me clarity of mind and clarity of speech, Lord. And do ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go back to verse 3. We find the psalmist here is at the point of death. Sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now we might all find ourselves, if the Lord tarries, at death's door. We might find ourselves in a hospital bed and with death knocking at the door. And one thing we're certain of in this world is death. It's a reality of this world that death is certain. Wherefore, by as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, when we're out at the markets or we're witnessing to people, it's hard to find someone that'll argue against that they're going to die, the point that they're going to die. You ask anyone in the street, they'll either point in the ground and say, I'm just going to be dust, I'm just going to be in the grave. Or they might say heaven or hell. They don't really argue the point that they're not going to die, do they? It's a reality. And if they do argue the point, it's because they realize the soul is eternal. And that's the point they're arguing, not that the flesh is going to be put off. But we find the psalmist here in a time of trouble. Now, I guess it could be physical condition that's caused this trouble, or it could be a spiritual trouble that he sees his burden of sin. And some have suggested that David is the writer of this psalm, and others suggest that Hezekiah is the writer of the psalm, and suggesting that this point of death is 2 Kings chapter 20 or Isaiah chapter 38 when he's sick on his deathbed. And that he's at the point of death. But the point is that he saw that he was in trouble. He saw that there was a problem. He was troubled and found sorrow. And each of us need to realize that we have a problem. We're born with this great problem. All of us at birth, because of Adam, we're born separated from God. Wherefore, by as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we are dead spiritually before we come to Christ. We need to be made alive, or born again, as we're told in John chapter 3. But before we can be born again, before we can be saved, we must see that we have a problem. We must see that we need to be saved from something. We must be delivered from this, from eternal death. And the psalmist here realizes that he's at the point of death and that there's only one escape from this death of his, or at least if it's a physical death, death at that point in time. He realizes that he has to call upon the Lord. Except God spare his life, except God spare him from death at this point, he's going to die. Except God extend his hand of mercy to the psalmist, he would die. He sees that that the problem is something that no man can fix. He realizes that he can only be delivered from this problem by God himself. Turn with me to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13 says, I'll give a second for pages. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, the point here is that it's only God that can do it, okay? Which were born not of blood. We're not born Christians. Doesn't matter if mum and dad are Christians, and grandma and granddad are Christians, and great-grandma and great-granddad are Christians, or if it might go back 10 generations, that doesn't make you a Christian. We're not born by blood Christians. Okay, nor of the will of flesh. You can do nothing to earn your eternal life, earn eternal life. No good works can save you. All our righteousness are but filthy rags to God. And no amount of good works can make him love you any more than he already does. There's not a sin that we do as a child that then makes you condemned. We're already condemned if we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:18 tells us, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We're already on a downward escalator, as you would, if you would, from birth, and it's only God that can take you off that downward escalator, put you on an upward escalator, a different escalator. He's the only one that can change that. Nor of the will of man. We can't be saved because somebody wants us to be saved. My children can't be saved because I want them to be saved. If we could do something to save someone, we would do it immediately. You know, if all we had to do was pray and someone be saved, we would get the phone book out and just go through it, wouldn't we? I hope we would if that was the case, but it's not the case. You can't do that. Now, I can't go around baptizing someone and say, okay, you're saved. That's not how it works. It's not by the will of man. It's not by blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's of the Lord. It's the Lord that does the saving. You know, if it was up to us, we'd mess it up for sure. There'd be no hope, but it's of God. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born of God. Which were born of God. We need to see our problem. We need to see that we've sinned against the holy God, that we fall short of his glory. We need to see that this relationship between God and man needs to be fixed, needs to be reconciled. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he sinned and caused, not only did he sin with Bathsheba, but he killed Uriah, murdered and lied and tried to cover it up. But David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Speaking to the Lord, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And we have to see that the problem is vertical. The problem is vertical. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45. And we'll go to verse 18. We'll start in verse 18. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." There is none else. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's only one way. Only God can do the saving. The psalmist, he sees his problem. He knew to turn to the Lord. He knew that the Lord was the only one that could do the saving. He calls out in verses 4 and 5, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." He says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." Where do we turn in times of trouble? Do we turn to the Lord? You know, some people turn to their bank account. And some people turn to a credit card. And some people turn to food. And some people turn to drugs and alcohol. And some people might turn to people. Some people turn to witchcraft. Some people turn to their heritage. Some turn to religious practice. There's a lot of places people turn. But there's only one place you can go that'll truly help you. One place that'll only do any good. Only God can truly help. Only God can save life. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. And as we're turning there, I'll just remind you of the disciples in the boat. So, in the storm, it would seem as though they have no faith. Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" And he says, "O ye of little faith." And he says, How is it that you have no faith? But, you know, one thing, they turn to him. They seek the Lord for help. They wake him up. At least they knew to turn to Christ. 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll read from verse 1. Just, for context. But now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Now, Naaman knew he had a problem. Naaman knew he was a leper. In fact, a lot of people knew Naaman was a leper. The little girl knew that he was a leper, knew that he had a problem. His wife knew that he had a problem. All those in his house knew that he had a problem. The king of Syria knew that he had a problem. So what did they do about it? The little girl knew who he was to go to, or where to go. Yet something goes wrong, doesn't it? He gets sent the wrong direction. The king of Syria sends him to the king of Israel. He goes to the wrong place, goes to the wrong person to be delivered from his problem. And the king of Israel knows that. The king of Israel says, Am I God to kill and to make alive? And so the king of Israel knows that he hasn't got the power to do this, the power to save life. But yet he doesn't tell Naaman where to go. He doesn't send Naaman to the prophet, to the man of God. He thinks that the Naaman's there to stir trouble. Naaman needed to find God. He needed to find the prophet to show him the right way. Now, it's only the King of Kings that can change a leopard's spots. It's only the King of Kings that can change this leper's spots. And we might point somebody to Christ, but, you know, years down the track, we come back and they're not where they should have been. They went off the track. They found religion instead of Christ. They found a person instead of God. And maybe you've been pointed to Christ. Maybe you've seen your problem of sin. Maybe somebody's pointed you to Christ, but you found religion instead. Maybe you found yourself looking to a person instead of Christ. All I can do is point you back to Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. In your place condemned he stood. For when ye were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. died for us. He took your place. He died in your place, buried and rose again, that you might live forever. Now, only He can deliver you from the penalty of sin. And not only the penalty of sin, but the guilt. He frees us from the guilt of our sin. It's only God that has the power over death. I think one of the privileges we've had on deputation is to hear testimony after testimony of testimony of how the Lord's worked in people's lives, how He saved them, and every testimony is different, how the Lord has worked in their life. But one thing's the same. They've all called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. They've all got something in common. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you might simply cry out like the publican in Luke chapter 18, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or you might cry out like the psalmist in Psalm 116 there, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thing is, we've gone our own way. We've been pointed to Christ. A lot of us have been pointed to Christ, but people turn to their own way. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and that's the problem. We've turned to our own way and not to the Lord. That was their problem. That's everybody's problem before salvation. They're seeking their own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Ezekiel 33:11 says, As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked might turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. In Psalm 116, we read, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because there's a uniting there. We get to go home to glory. Where do we turn in times of trouble? Do we turn to the Lord? Do we seek the Lord? Have you seen the problem of sin in your life? The burden that you carry, your sin debt, have you turned to Christ? And have you seen that it's only God? There is none else that can do the saving. Let's leave it there, I pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that it's you that do the saving, Lord, and not us. And Lord, I thank you that you can change a leopard's spots and you can change the heart of man. And Lord, I pray that if there's any here that don't yet know you as their Saviour, Lord, that you would stir their hearts today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they might see if they're just trusting in religion or trusting in a person or maybe trusting in just a prayer, Lord, but pray that they would see that they need to trust in you. Lord, we ask for help. We just ask, Lord, that you would guide our steps today, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.